frosted chalk. You better return it. For those who teach, you're gonna spend your time doing it online. Don't get too mad. Those kids who are at their desks now take their tests at home on their iPad. It's now too late to ask why. Kiss your old routines goodbye. Hope you have good Wi-Fi. You're gonna need it. Take it to the top. To the top, not the bottom of the top. Top talent.
Greetings from upstate New York, the Albany area. My name is Richie Phillips, and this is Top Talent. This is the podcast that originates from this area. It concentrates on talent in this area, or maybe talent that's coming to this area. And there's talent of all kinds. There's musical talent. There's artistic talent. There's a talent for everything, really, if you think about it. And how about a talent for teaching? To be a great teacher, you've got to be a talented person. I had a stint as a teacher. I know how really, really difficult. That was probably the hardest thing I ever did in my entire life. And I have gathered some great teachers from here in the area and also a teacher from outside the area who I happen to be related to. She is my niece up here from Brooklyn, New York, and I snagged her to be part of this as well. We also have a guidance counselor from an area school. And it really got me to thinking, going back to school in September is not an easy task in general. But with this new factor, the pandemic factor, what's it going to be like? How are they going to handle all the things? And I was trying to write down just some of the problems. Like, how is a teacher going to connect with a class when they don't physically meet? One of the teachers brought that up during this podcast. How do you get close to them to show them something at their desk when they're not at their desk and you're not even in the school? You're staring at a camera lens and talking into your computer. What is the class going to look like? Are there going to be cubicles if they do go back to school? What's recess going to be like? How's that going to work? Some kids rely on their schools for meals. All these things are brought up during this podcast. Very important stuff. And you'll hear their insights and maybe some of the ideas that they have. Without further ado, I'd like to get into talented teachers, talented educators here on
Top Talent.
All right, so we have teachers here on the screen that I would like you folks to introduce yourselves. We'll go around the room here. Go ahead, please introduce yourselves and what classes you teach or what function you have in the educational profession.
Okay, my name is Jamie Pink. I teach first grade. I completed my 18th year.
Wow. And been to your school many times and worked with you many, many times. Okay. Yes. And now we have Tracy.
My name is Tracy Trainer. I teach second grade at Manan School, and I've taught for about 21 years.
Amazing. And I've been to her class. Both incredible teachers. Okay. Yes. To Lexi. Or Mrs. Phillips.
Hi. I am Lexi Phillips. I'm a school counselor at Carroll Hill Elementary School in Troy, New York. And a little on the other side of the spectrum, I'm starting my fifth year there in the fall.
Excellent. And last but not least, my niece.
Hi, I'm Jessica Phillips Lorenz, and a relation. And I teach movement. I'm a specialty teacher. I teach movement into early childhood, and I also work with educators and teach in the Graduate School of Education as an adjunct at City College. And I've been wearing a lot of hats as a teacher and a parent for a few years now. So
that's a good point. How many of the rest of you are parents? I know Tracy is. That's okay. So we have two parents. Okay. Well, we have three parents. And I taught for 5 years too. And, you know, my heart has always been in teaching, and which is one of the reasons I wanted to bring this whole thing up. I just saw a statistic today that just blew me away. Globalpartnership.com states that 1.1 billion, not million, billion kids with a B are out of school right now. Oh my God. I know. Where do we start with this? You know, I was thinking every single part of the school day to me, from bus transportation to feeding the kids to assembly programs to playgrounds, how do you handle, what's it all going to look like? Anybody? Anybody have answers here? I know we're not going to come up with quick answers. Definitely not, right? What's the oldest? We'll start with this, and I know I sent this question out to you before. What's the oldest convention in teaching? Something that's been there for years and years that you're now looking at it now and going, that's not going to work anymore.
I'm afraid of recess and PE, especially for, you know, the kids. They need to get up and move and to allow them to play on equipment and, or even share equipment together. With how things are right now, I don't see that happening, and I see that extremely detrimental to kids' academics, their emotional, their social, all those aspects.
Yeah, phys ed is important, right?
Yeah, yeah. Those are the arts. I mean, to think about music too, playing a musical instrument. How are they going to be blowing their spit into a wind instrument? My brother is a band teacher, and my sister-in-law is a music teacher. So, you know, I hear their concerns as well.
Yeah, just to piggyback on what Tracy was saying, I think that the physical aspect of learning is really important. And some of what I teach with small children in school settings is about spatial awareness. I mean, children have no sense of that. It's a skill. And I think even as adults, we've all been places where we're in line and somebody's just too close to us. So now more than ever, you can see, I mean, some people do not have a sense of it. There's some people who don't want to have a sense, but that's, I'm not talking about them. but, you know, just getting, children are used to piling onto each other and, right, and kind of learning from each other. Hey, you're too close. You know, they kind of are beginning to explore those boundaries physically. And when I imagine something that I kind of can't wrap my head around as for my own children, or if I was in a classroom and needed to get close to a student, sometimes you need to be really right, physically close to point to show them something, and to think that that will have to have some kind of a boundary between it is really hard to wrap your head around.
Anybody that's been in the elementary school has heard probably about the purple circle.
Like, what's that?
Oh, you just like your personal space, and you know, you're too close to me, you know, you're in my area, and kids, like you were saying, Jessica, don't have an understanding of that, especially at the age that I work with. And you know, being this distance learning and everything, they're not developing that. They're becoming just more secluded and knowing how to engage with another person in real life. I can't even imagine what it's like for these kids that haven't been able to see in person, you know, another friend for months.
Yeah, from the times I visited your class to write, when we wrote songs together, the kids were always sitting on the floor like 1 centimeter away from each other.
Right.
It's every aspect of it. Yeah. How about from a guidance counselor point of view?
So as a school counselor, I work a lot with attendance and, you know, trying to get attendance rates up, especially because New York State is now, you know, that's one of the mandates that they've put on schools, is that they have to reach a certain percentage of what they deem good attendance. So what that's going to look like and what good attendance might necessarily mean, and trying to get away from that term of perfect attendance, because if you're not feeling well, please don't come to school, you know, and trying to reframe what attendance might look like. So I've been thinking a lot about those kind of practices.
Well, how does attendance work online, I guess? I mean, you're assuming that they're coming to school.
Yeah, I mean, attendance hasn't been great online for, you know, a number of reasons, and that's really hard because there's only so much you can do during this time to try and boost that number.
So what do? They do Zoom with a class? I mean, the whole class isn't on a screen. If you have 25 kids, is that how they're doing it now? No.
At my school, it is. They have an instructional, certain amount of instructional minutes a day that it's supposed to be with the whole class. It hasn't ever been with the whole class from the teachers I've talked to, but yes, and then there's some independent pieces after that.
The New York City DOE, which my children go to, a New York City public school, there was an issue with Zoom in terms of security.
Yeah.
So, and there's also some liability around teachers kind of leaving the room or leaving the, they're using Google Classroom, and they would take attendance by question of the day. And then, I mean, it's so much about it's not even, I mean, there's so many challenges. Do you have access to any of these things? And mm-hmm. and now children are forced to kind of learn through a new medium that at their ages, and I think we all work with kind of, you know, under middle school students, you know, some things are, my daughter, she just finished third grade and they were making Google slides. And I mean, I'm just figuring these things out, and it's hard to know sort of where the content is within the technology, because the technology is, it's so big for them. I mean, it's hard for us to get used to, but I think it's really hard for them.
Well, that's the next question too. How many of you are don't like dealing with technology? Right. Between all of us. Look at me. I was fumbling trying to get you all on here. Right. I mean, you're expecting
a lot more before March.
Yeah. I mean, they're just automatically expecting both teachers and kids to understand all this stuff.
It's not working well, I think, really, for anyone. And you know, it's hard for parents who are, if they're fortunate enough to have their job still, to be mm-hmm. basically, you can't have a kindergartner just alone. I mean, they're not going to have the attention span to sit and do in at the computer. They're really not as beings designed to do that. And we would find, my husband and I was working, teaching from home as a specialist, teaching via Zoom or Vimeo to my school. And my husband, who was furloughed, which was, you know, a plus. The plus was he could work with our own kids. The negative is that he was not working. So he was kind of primary teacher with our own kids. But, I mean, we would say all the time, if we were both really working from home, it would be impossible to do. And I don't know how anybody – I don't think anyone's doing well right now in this world. But.
I was picturing another facet of teaching. We're talking like assembly programs. Even that is that's a learning experience for kids too, right? How to behave in a group setting. And that's not going to happen because they're not going to allow assemblies and eating at lunch together. And there's no togetherness, right, Tracy?
No, there really isn't. I know I'm on our committee at our school to look at what next year might look like. And these are all questions that you're bringing up that we still have. And some of it really relies on what Governor Cuomo is going to allow to happen as well. And then you look at the classrooms, and I mean, you've been in our classrooms. You can't have the number of students that we have and have them logistically the space away from, you know, what you're saying they need. And, yeah, it is. It's going to be different. And I agree with all of the computer stuff. You know, to grade a student and you see a student that's struggling in school now doing so well at home, so you know they're not doing all the work themselves, which is great that they have that assistance at home. And then on the flip side, you know, I had some very bright students that they just weren't showing up. They just weren't doing their work. And along what Jessica was saying, both parents were working from home. They couldn't check on the second grader, you know, to make sure they were getting on, and the brother's sleeping until whenever and doing his work at night. So it really is. I don't see how it's going to work. And having a kindergartner at home that once in a while would be like, you like the kids in your class better than you like me. You're spending more time with them. And I'm like, okay, let's schedule lunch. How about it? Over that, you know, so it is, it's hard because people are like, well, you're a teacher, it has to be easy. It wasn't easy. It wasn't. I was still learning Google Meets. I had never used Google Meets.
Right.
As far as some of the other stuff, Google Slides, we did have our kids doing a little bit of that, but it was with the librarian, you know, in school and all, like, here's the directions, do them at home. So it is, I think it's going to be a challenge no matter what for everybody. And then to figure out, you know, our special needs kids that need that closeness. They need those hugs, our sensory kids that mm-hmm. that are looking for a lot of that stuff. I find it hard. Those are the things that when we asked, we were fortunate, both myself and the other second grade teacher, to get our classes together a lot on Google Meets, and a lot of them showed up. And when you asked them, what they missed the most was hugs, seeing their friends, handshakes from their friends. We would do a morning meeting and send a greeting. They're like, but I miss shaking my friend's hand. I miss the elbows. They miss the high fives. So to go back and be like, hey, stay away from me. You're not allowed to hug me. Hey, stay away, when you see a kid that's struggling so much. It is hard. And we've done, and as I'm sure everybody on the screen has, independent meetings with certain kids that their parents said, hey, they're struggling. So we would set up meetings or talk to them on the phone just to try and talk to them because emotionally they were struggling. I didn't care about the academics. I cared about the emotional side of it, because if you can't do the emotional and you're not okay that way, I can't expect you to sit and add or read or comprehend. And I think that when we go back, that's one of the big things counselors like Lexi are going to be overwhelmed with.
You'll be overwhelmed. You know,
more students coming than they had before, because it has, it's been months.
Yeah, piggybacking off of that, that is one of the things I'm obviously thinking about looking ahead, is that rebuilding those relationships and the school culture with the parameters that are going to be placed on us, you know, what that will look like, but just the what we're walking into if we do in the fall, just not only the pandemic, but everything else going on in the country and, you know, the trauma that certain families and students have been facing, whether it's from the pandemic or other things or both. And add in the fact that for the last third of the school year, the securities that school or the supports that school might be bringing have been essentially wiped away. So what we're going to be walking into in the fall, you know.
How many of you are, as far as teaching is concerned, traditionalists, like believe in the old school of memorizing and that type of thing, and feel that even that kind of stuff is going by the wayside? I mean, can you still employ traditional teaching methods doing it this way too? I mean, don't you almost have to relearn how to teach?
In some ways, because you're using this new interface. I mean, we're used to turning to the left and grabbing manipulatives and throwing them out on the table. And,
right.
You know, it's all right there in front of you, or turning to the board and writing something.
Right.
I mean, there's definitely a lot of scrambling when you're trying to interact and they can't see what you've written down. I mean, because we were a seesaw. We used Seesaw with the little kids, and we used Google Meet. We did not use Google Classrooms much, but I am more interested in seeing if that's something that we can use if this comes to be in the fall again, because I have heard good things about it. But yeah, it was a whole new learning experience for us. So the traditional way to me was basically gone. And
what percentage of your time has been dealt with the technology itself and getting it to work?
And I think it went back to what Jessica said. I know one of our teachers was having technical difficulties. So her screen kept shutting down while the kids were on, and it took a parent stepping in and another child being like, we don't act like this when she's on. Don't be doing this now. Sit and wait for her to come back on. And finally she's like, we're done. Everybody needs to sign off. So the glitches of kids being able to stay on when we got off a meeting, you know, figuring that out. Our IT people figuring out how to put certain blocks on, but yet open others so you can still have access. It's challenging. It's a lot of time.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, kids kind of are figuring things out in a new way. Like my daughter and her friends, you know, they seem like they're kind of involved. And then I'd walk over and they figured out how to chat to each other, which is like passing notes. But, you know, so in a way, I think, well, at least they're learning how to type, you know, at least it's something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like, at least from what I'm observing in our family and what I'm hearing from friends, is that the last few months hasn't been a lot about learning. It's just, we're all getting through a very challenging time. And I think the most important thing is just the social emotional stuff as best we can as parents and educators and people.
Yeah. Everybody's doing their absolute best right now.
Oh, sure. That's right. And Cuomo, who, I mean, I'll put in my two cents, I think he's done a fantastic job as far as the pandemic is concerned. But he has made a couple of comments saying, almost like magically, schools are just going to have to be online. You know, he didn't basically said that, right? And I'm like, well, you haven't been to a school in a while. It doesn't work that way. Right? Do you think that they're too much in their ivory towers, a lot of the pros, as far as you being the nuts and bolts teachers?
There's so much about access to understanding all of this. And I have a friend who's a family rights attorney. And, you know, I saw a number and she was really concerned about this too. But there are no, I mean, all of us, I'm sure, have taken mandated reporter trainings. Mm. And that there are a lot of really vulnerable kids out there who need more eyes on them too. And, you know, school is sort of the interface of everything in our culture. It's where we can have the opportunity to help each other, I think, truly. And so to think that I saw this statistic, and it was something like in New York City, it was like abuse and neglect cases, reported cases were down 51%. And that doesn't mean that those things aren't happening. Mm-hmm. It means that there's not a school nurse or a teacher or somebody who's saying, hey, something's not right here. So, on that very sort of, that's an extreme level, but for the governor to say, oh yeah, this is great, everybody just log on to your meetings, when it's like there are some kids who are in severe danger being at home and it's not safe for them.
And not even the like black and white of a child being in danger, but even, you know, that idea of having eyes on a child and saying, okay, something's going on. What supports does this family need? Because I have found that it's been such a barrier to be able to make those referrals and kind of get to know a family better. Because everyone is, like I said, everyone's doing their absolute best right now. They're not looking to have one more phone call and one more meet when that's, they're doing that all day long, you know?
All right, we're going to do a little like role playing. You are the principal of your school or a school. Let's pretend it's a completely new school. The school's opening in September. You have an idea that you are just dying to implement. What do you think you have in your head that might work and you're just dying to get going? You know, anybody?
I really want standardized testing to go away. I have right. Before this year happened. I just, I think it now's the time. Let us slide in those portfolios, start really teaching kids, you know, where they're at and not saying, well, I'll teach you like this all year, but then you're going to have to take this test that's way above your head. So use these portfolios that how much kids truly are growing and where they're from, especially now, you know, a lot of kids didn't have that support or the resources at home. So they are going to be behind, even if at school, maybe they weren't as far behind. I think it's caused a bigger gap between our students. So I want to see those portfolios put in so we can grade kids on themselves, being themselves and what they accomplished throughout the year, instead of on what people sitting in an office that haven't been in a classroom in a very long time are making up for us to give to kids.
Yeah, but I hate to say it. Now I'm thinking of it. Don't you think it's going to go the opposite way? Because they're going to be so worried that all these kids are at home learning at different rates. They're going to try to come up with something standardized.
I really think that for the next couple of years, they might not, until the catch up happens where they feel that the students have kind of caught up to what they've missed.
Okay.
And then I do kind of agree with you. Maybe then they'll, hey, we need to sock it to them. And,
right.
You know, these teachers are really teaching, you know, so maybe at some point, but I do think that right now it's going to be more, they know that they didn't have it. So let's figure out how to catch them up.
Okay.
Is my hope.
Okay, good.
In my school that you said I could create.
That's right. Now you have to patent that idea so none of the other teachers here steal it. Okay.
I don't care. They can
I'll borrow that.
All right, who else has another idea that I can shoot down? No, I'm just kidding.
For me, again, going back to how that relationship building is just so important. So kind of putting the academics to the back burner for a minute until you can recreate that solid foundation. Like I believe it was Tracy said earlier, you know, good luck getting to the academic part if the social emotional needs aren't being taken care of. So really driving home the point that we are still here, we are there for you, no matter what, and kind of reversing some of the damage that's happened over the past 6 months come fall.
I think one thing, you know, thinking about what you said, Lexi, about the relationships that we all need to establish, is one reason it may have worked better for the past, you know, 3-4 months, is that we already established that classroom community. We had that all together. We knew each other. But to think of starting in the fall with a group of kids that I've never really met, I guess I would hope if we are not in school in some type of in-person, they allow us to have some type of group meeting, some type of safe distance, but bring us together so we can see face to face and meet each other and start to build some type of classroom community, because I think that's essential to to the way we were able to interact, online.
What a great point. I didn't think about that. You're not going to meet your class in the fall.
I mean, I met them. Yeah. We tried
physically meet them
at the end of the school year to do it, via Google Meet, but it doesn't take the place of sitting around. Even if we have to go into the playroom, spread way out a class at a time for a half hour. I don't know. But something so we can all see each other and feel like we are actually people, not avatars and bitmojis.
That's exactly what it is.
Just that reminded me of something. I think that all of us as teachers, we have a skill of being able to walk into a classroom or a room and kind of read the room. Mm-hmm. And you can learn from a child very quickly, just what's their energy, their temperament, what kind of almost their little, their little personalities. You pick up so much more than from the screens, that what you were just saying, Jamie, reminded me of that. And yeah, imagining meeting children for the first time in the fall through a screen feels unbelievable. I think when I think about next year and if I had my own dream school, I think a lot of it would be about, because I don't know how schools are going to open. If even in New York State, if our numbers are coming down, which is great, but if they're going up in other parts of the country, I mean, it just takes somebody to drive here. And, so if we're home and doing distance learning, I would love it to be very kind of self-directed with goals in terms of, I think it'd be a great time to reexamine some anti-racist approaches in education and kind of let's kind of unpack this and let's dig deep into that for even really young children. I think that's going to be important, but also just goals about something fun, roller skating. What do you want to learn about that? Maybe just exploring one thing, pick one thing that a child is actually interested in and let them sort of direct their learning, which is more that homeschooling model. But I agree to the testing. They're not going to be able to. And I didn't have to do any assessment. I don't know if any of you, I think most assessment kind of went by the wayside, but that's kind of what I would think of, self-directed, the same kind of social emotional stuff, and then getting into some anti-racist curriculum and sort of working toward some,
that's a great point,
some positives there.
You're listening to my interview with top teachers here on Top Talent. And I'm always looking for talent in any profession. If you have somebody you would like to nominate to have me interview and grill them here on the podcast, all you got to do is go to my email, which is Richie, R-I-C-H-I-E, 1077 at gmail.com, and tell me about the person. I'll get them on here. What's it going to be like for teachers and guidance counselors to do their jobs in the, quote, new normal, end quote? And let's continue unpacking here on
Top Talent.
I just thought of something that's a little bit off the subject, but as far as discipline is concerned, have you found when you had like 25 kids on the screen that five kids are messing around and you had to stop and tell them to pay attention? Or I could see it actually being a positive thing for discipline. They're probably not going to be as much discipline problems when they're doing it this way, right? Because they're home. I'm wondering which way. I don't know. I could think of it either way.
Them jumping on their bed. The kids that can't sit still in the classroom, they can't sit still at home. So they would quickly, if I was like, oh, reminder, we have to try to keep our bodies within the screen and other things not, it would quickly go to like their name or, something that, a picture that they had put up. And I'm like, I know what you're doing behind. You could hear like a little giggle or something.
Oh, yeah.
So try their best as they do in the classroom, but there definitely were still some of those. And I think there were also some kids that were a little nervous. Mom and dad are over my shoulder listening.
Well, yeah.
They're in the classroom listening to what I say. So some of my kids that were a little bit more open in the classroom didn't say quite as much when they were at home. So it was interesting to see the opposite as well.
Yeah, because I was picturing the parents sitting right next to them saying, pay attention, but no.
Yeah. That would be me with my son. Listen to what your teacher's saying.
Right. But then some are using you as babysitters and they're in the other room completely, right?
Well, because they might have been working too.
That's true.
I had a few families, they're trying to do their own computer work in the other room. And, there was a lot of reminders about, yes, keeping your body up. There's no pets right now. Put the toys down. it's the same kids in school that had a hard time. But I think it was easier for them in school because you were right there. Like, you weren't just a voice. You weren't just, you know, somebody moving around on their screen. You were there. And yeah, it was challenging for them, but you could limit the distractions. They could read your body language. You know, Jessica, like you were saying, the whole body language thing doesn't translate over a screen.
Yeah, I think part of that too is the change instruction routine. Like even for myself, oh my gosh, I'm getting up so much later. I might still be in my pajamas. You know, you do. So if the work ethic or the motivation isn't there as much, we were all feeling that.
I think we were all hoping too. I mean, definitely on March 13th, that this was bizarre, short-lived, temporary. And I think I still have a little bit of that bubble of denial.
So from your job point of view, have any of you been told that the school's definitely not going to open, or the school's definitely going to open? Everybody is still waiting, right? Nobody's made any decisions. Wow. I don't know. It's not getting any better. The numbers aren't getting any better out there. The positives.
One thing, if there is continued distance learning, you know, to a degree or all, whatever, we've said a lot to our administrators, we need parent support, you know, to try to bring them in and help make them feel more comfortable with these programs that we're using, because, you know, we tried our best, but we were just hanging, you know, right there at water's edge, kind of trying to keep our heads up, and same with them. And part of, you know, they were probably under the water a lot of the time. We need to provide them support.
Yeah, parent support and free internet access for all.
Yeah,
in our district, it's not even, they can't get it. We have a, you know, a wide district and a lot of country, and there's no wires out there.
Wow.
So that was my next question. How does that, what?
They would have to go to a parking lot to get Wi-Fi?
Wi-Fi, yeah. I mean, it's not a lot of houses, but it's just a piece of this.
Lexi, how was getting food to students in yours? I know we were fortunate where our bus companies still did the bus routes, and they opened it up where anybody, and we had kids that weren't even free and reduced, the parents call because of being out of work asking. How'd that work for Troy?
That I wish is how it happened. So I'm at a school that's 80% free and reduced, so that's a big chunk of our population that gets breakfast and lunch every, you know, 5 days a week. And unfortunately, they just did one pickup up at the high school, and they offered bus rides, but then you're riding in a bus with strangers, and, you know, so I don't think a lot of our students utilize that. However, Boys and Girls Club set up lunch, free lunch every single day at the housing authorities. So any of our projects and complexes, they were spots that got free lunch every day, which was nice.
Nice. Yeah, ours were, and then we run out of ours because we have one of the biggest homeless shelters. We're one of the smallest school districts.
Oh, yeah. My kids are there. Yeah.
But we have that, you know, that shelter there. So we also were running a food pantry out of our school. So they would get kids and families like 2 weeks worth of frozen food, you know, go and get whatever they could. But we were fortunate that they were getting breakfast and lunch delivered to them, as long as they were out for the bus, you know, going by. So we were very fortunate, but we were wondering how some of the schools around us were dealing with that had bigger populations and probably couldn't, you know, get as easily accessed.
Yeah.
It's true. I know Tracy knows when I was on the radio for Lexi, I did a school program. I did, that's how I know Phil Fusco, who connected me.
Through Griswold Heights. Yep.
Right. I did a character education program where I went to classes and wrote songs with the kids.
I remember seeing pictures when I was a graduate assistant.
And that's how I met Tracy and did so many classes with her and also Jamie. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is I went to so many schools. I did it for 20 years. So I've seen them all. I've seen all the school districts. And it just is mind-boggling to me that, like, in Niskayuna, New York, where I live, it's a fairly affluent area. You have schools have whiteboards and all the technology. And then I went into Schenectady and the teachers were buying their own supplies. I'm like, what? You know, it was, and that school's 5 miles away from Niskayuna, you know, just the lack of uniformity.
The budget cuts have been, like, you know, hitting schools like Troy especially hard.
Right. Troy too.
You know, our population in Texas. So we're fortunate. I mean, we just had to cut our entire reading specialist at all levels. Gone. Yeah. Because we won't need that in the fall, you know? So.
They'll say at our school they didn't cut positions, but they have, as people have retired, they haven't fully replaced them.
Attrition.
And then they're trying, University of Albany, use their grad students as interns, but handing them these poor interns, and we're so grateful, we've had wonderful, here's your caseload. What do you mean your caseload? Like, they're still learning. They're here to learn. Yeah. So it is, it's difficult. I can't imagine being in the city schools.
No, and people that went to school with, like, their counseling positions are cut. And I was like, I get it. Like, there's nowhere really to cut. So it can happen, but I would not want to be in that school district to put more on the teachers come fall without that social emotional support.
I remember going to one school, I brought my keyboard in there, and at the end of the class, the teacher said, "You know what you just did?" And I said, "What?" She goes, "You just did our music program for the entire year." That always stuck with me. And that was before this whole thing happened.
I know. And that's the hardest thing, is that all the inequities in our public school system are vast, and they really are showing their true colors. That even in New York City, I mean, it varies by neighborhood, and, you know, they're very segregated in a lot of ways based on neighborhood schools. But it's really.
Oops. You froze there. I just lost everybody. I don't know if you can see me and hear me, but it froze.
And that's how it ended. Between running out of time on Zoom, which you really can't complain with Zoom. They're offering it free, and just to have that service was incredible. And the Spectrum problem, where I keep losing my internet at my house, which is a complete other problem that I don't have as much sympathy for. But anyhow, I would like to thank Tracy Trainer, Jessica Lorenz, my niece, Lexi Phillips, the guidance counselor, and Jamie Pink for giving up their time to be part of this podcast. Really got some interesting information, and I really wish them luck in their professions as this continues, and hopefully this, quote-unquote, won't continue for too much longer, but it looks like we're in it for the fairly long haul, the way it looks.
The top talent quote.
I found a very short and sweet top talent quote this week. I don't even know who said it. It looks like it's anonymous. Quote, "Everyone is gifted. The difference is, some people never open their package." I like it. Open your package. Whatever talent you have, pursue it. If you get a chance to subscribe to the podcast, I'd appreciate it. Leave a comment, and kind of zooms you up in the ratings and the rankings on Apple Podcasts. If you can do that for me, I would really appreciate that. I do these every 2 weeks. I will see you in two Tuesdays here on
Top Talent.